consider talking to him, you know, reconciling, you know, forgiving him. And then his response was, no, 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 I'm gonna give it some time. And I'm sure I'm not gonna be mad anymore. Like, just give me some time and I'm sure it'll go away. And that's probably not the way you wanna take care of those things. You take care of emotions, like just say, hey, just give me some time and it's gonna go away. And that's one way not to do or respond to sinful emotions. So today we wanna talk about envy. And the hard thing about envy and about other emotions is that they just show up in our life. Like, you never ask for it, you never think you're gonna feel it. Something happens in your circumstance in your life and you end up just feeling the emotion in your heart. And you need to be honest about that at that moment. You need to be honest about what you're feeling, honest about what's going on, and take a moment to consider why you're feeling what you're feeling. But tonight we want to talk about envy, and we're going to talk about other emotions in the following weeks. And I gave a very simple definition of envy. It says the feeling or wish you had something that someone else has, or they have more than what you have. Okay, just a very simple definition. It's not limited to material things, but often includes a good name or reputation that we wish were true of us. So just think about that. So something that you want or wish that you had, that someone else has, or maybe they have more of it. It could be material, but it could also be maybe they're receiving more attention, they're receiving more praise, and it's something that you desire in your heart to have. And I want to make a distinction, and that's just a kind of a basic definition. We're going to build on that. But I want to just say, not some things that we might consider envy is not actually like truly envy. Something like, hey, you know, that guy that I see, this older person, I want to become like him. That's not really envy. Like, I want to become like the great mom like I see in her, or a great father like I see in him, or I want to be the best player of violin like this violinist that you know is famous, or I want to play basketball like LeBron, okay, or something like that. That's not envy. That's just, hey, I want to try to aspire to somebody like that, try to do my best to become as good as this person is in something. But that's not like envy. That's just, you know, you're just emulating someone. You want to just try to be somebody in terms of whatever they're doing that's good. And so we want to make that distinction. So envy, as we look at it in a minute here, you're going to see why it's so simple and why it's so bad in our hearts. Okay? So an example of envy in the Bible, kind of think through the Old Testament for a minute. Just randomly think through some things. And think of some people that were very envious. Think of some people that are very envious. Just in your mind, okay? Name a person that you think was really envious. You can name somebody. Cain, okay, exactly. So that's my first example, Cain. So turn to Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. It says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. That's probably familiar with this story. And Abel, who's his brother, right, one of their brothers, Cain and Abel, also brought of the firstborn of his flocks and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Right? And so God accepted Abel's offering, and Cain became very angry. He was envious. Envy is not written there, but we know that's kind of like a precursor. That happened first, and then it led to his anger. And here's God warning him. He says, in verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin, and I would say, I would replace that even with envy, and you could put anger, okay, is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it and overtake him. And what's the result of that? What does Cain do? Kills Abel, right? He kills Abel. And so envy leads to the murder of his own brother. And I don't know if you guys ever thought of envy, like you look at envy up there, okay, like, oh, it's kind of cute. It's so bad, okay, it's so sinful, it leads to a brother killing another brother. Another example is Joseph, if you remember him, chapter 37 of Genesis. Turn over there real quick. We'll just read a quick verse there, a couple of verses. Verse 3 in chapter 37. It reads, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons." So that's already parenting and favoritism. So don't ask your parents if they have favorites. But "now Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other of his sons, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that the father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him." And so it's interesting because the brothers were envious of Joseph. But in a sense, you're thinking, why aren't they mad at the father? Right? Like, that's kind of weird. It's kind of like, you know, why are they not seeing that the father is causing this problem? But yet they're envious of their brother Joseph. And what do they end up doing? They end up devising a plan to kill him. And then they decide, well, let's not kill him, so throw him in a pit. And they sell him off in a caravan and goes off to Egypt, right? And so, again, another example of what envy can do, right? And already you just see the seriousness of it. A couple other examples. You think of, even at the garden, I would say, you have to wonder, even in the beginning, if Satan was a little envious of Adam and Eve being in the perfect place that God created for them, when he himself could have been there as well. He himself could have received the blessing of God and been a little maybe envious of even Adam and Eve, of what the blessing that God's given to them. And then Adam and Eve being tempted, in a sense, by Satan, saying, look, you could be like God. And then they went ahead and ate of the fruit. And then you think about Saul and David. Saul is trying to kill David. Okay. And so all around the Bibles, you see so many things. Even with Jesus, the religious leaders were mad at him, right? Because he was getting popular and all these people were following him. And even the apostles were fighting over who's the greatest. Who's the greatest? And asking Jesus who's the greatest. And so envy is all over the place. And if you're not convinced yet how bad envy is, turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And we have it, I believe, up there on the screen as well. It says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God," it's talking about those that continue to reject God, and God is judging them, God's pouring their wrath on them. "God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless." And envy is listed as one of those sins in this list. Those that then acknowledge God, those that were given over to a debased mind, haters of God, those are the type of people are envious. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So envy and jealousy are listed as the works of the flesh. Those that do them will never inherit the kingdom of God. And so I don't know if you're ever surprised by that, that envy is listed as one of those sins, like just the worst of the sins, that envy is listed as one of them. I actually, when I was starting to study this, didn't realize how serious envy is until I started to study this. And really describe, the Bible continues to describe envy as a sin. It's never, at any point, anything even remotely good. It's always characteristic of those that don't know God. And envy is not just a feeling or an emotion, but it is a sin. It's a serious sin, and we have to take it that way. One author wrote that envy is a daughter of pride. One reason pride is so bad is because, unlike other sins, right, no one can see it. No one can see your pride. You can just pretend not to be prideful, but it's in your heart, it's inside. In the same way, envy can be hidden from others. Envy can be just hidden inside your own heart. You can smile to the person that you're envious to, the person that you're starting to hate, and you can just smile and say, oh, you know, it's great to see you. You know, you're such a great brother, you're such a great sister, and yet you can store that envy inside your heart. But at the same time, envy rarely does stay within yourself, and this is why it's so dangerous. Even though we can pretend that it doesn't bother us, it's going to eventually cause disruption or division between a person and their friend or their neighbor. It's going to eventually come out. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's going to be a sin against God himself. And before we sit here and think that envy, like you're like, hey, I'm never envious. It's never going to affect me. It doesn't really happen that often. Or think that we're never going to struggle with it. Before we think that, I would argue that envy is probably the second most prevalent sin next to pride. I really believe it now. I didn't think it at first when I was first studying this, but I think it's the second most prevalent pride in society today, next to pride. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, and Ecclesiastes kind of lays out, like, just life. This is how life is. Verse 4 of chapter 4 says, "Then I saw that all toil or labor and all skill, every success in work," okay, so every toil, every labor that you see, every skill or every success that you see in man, in work, comes from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. So God gives us in his word that everything that man does really is coming from of envy. The Bible tells us that the world revolves around envy, that we work and strive for success ultimately because of envy of our neighbor, trying to be better or achieve something greater than our neighbor. Get a better phone, get a better home, get a better car, a better reputation, better promotion in your work, more attention, you want more praise, you want more likes or views on your social media accounts. On and on, this is how the world works. And if you look around and really think about what people are doing, it's driven and motivated by envy. And literally everything that we see is running on envy. And so before you think, hey, this isn't really that serious, it is. Hopefully you see that now. Hopefully you see the seriousness of envy. And hopefully you see that it's not something to just kind of like gloss over and say, hey, like it's not going to happen to me. And so we want to get more personal. Let's get on the personal side of envy. Talk really personal about ourselves a little bit here before we go on to what we should do about it. So whether you're a believer or not, it doesn't matter. Whether you're a believer here or not, it doesn't matter. We're all going to struggle with envy to a certain extent. So some of us are going to struggle a little bit more, for sure. Like some of us will have that in us. Just like any other sin, some of us struggle with certain sins more than others. And envy is one of those. Some of us will struggle more, some of us struggle less. But at some point in your life, I really believe all of us will struggle with this. If we're really honest and see why we do what we do in life. And so believe it or not, even pastors, okay, pastors could be envious. They're not immune to this. They can become envious of other pastors. Some look at the church maybe on the other side of town or somewhere over there. And we've heard this many times. And they start to think, oh, why isn't my church getting bigger? That church over there is getting bigger. And they become a little envious, starts to start there. And they start to do things at their church to try to attract more people because they believe that's a sign of a healthy church. Maybe they become envious of someone that's preaching better than them. And then they start to try to do something in their preaching to gain more affirmation or praise from men. And that even happens to pastors, let alone church members. We're going to start getting envious with each other. Maybe somebody at church is... You're striving to maybe even be up here, like sing on a Sunday morning, and you're thinking, wow, I could sing better than that person. Like, why does that person get to go up there and sing? Why does that person get to lead that ministry? Why am I not being asked to lead this ministry? And it happens. It happens in the church, even with adults, okay? Especially with adults, actually. And so you have to be careful that it does happen to almost everyone. It's prevalent everywhere. We have to really guard our hearts against that. But where does it start? Where does envy start? Well, it starts in our heart. We've been already talking about that. And it starts with our own desires. We believe that something in our life will make us happy. So you guys got to think for a moment. You're pursuing happiness in your life. And there's something in your life right now that you probably think, well, if I had this or I can achieve this, it's going to bring happiness to my life. And then whether it's something material like a phone, or type of clothing, maybe shoes, whatever. And then maybe as an adult, you're thinking a car, a home, whatever it is. It could be attention or praise from others. Maybe you want someone to say, good job, or wow, you're so good at playing basketball. Wow, you're so good at playing that instrument. Wow, you're so good at whatever it is that you're doing. Maybe you want some praise from others. Maybe you want a position or a promotion. When you got into a certain school, college, maybe you're going to try to get a job, or you're just trying to try out for your orchestra group or your musical that you guys are, a lot of you guys are part of, or you wanted to start on your sports team, and that's, you think that's going to make you happy. And so we're pursuing these things in life. We're still pursuing. Nothing in of itself maybe sounds like really bad. And in your heart, you're thinking, it's not really an idol. It's not something that I'm really striving for, like I'm giving up everything for my life. But then something happens. One day, someone else gets it and you don't. If someone else receives it, that's what you got to ask yourself. If someone else gets it instead of you, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? You got to ask those questions. And then are you starting to become envious of that person that received it instead of you? And you have to think, well, how do I know if I'm really becoming envious? How am I really becoming envious? Is it just that I kind of say, oh, shucks, I wish I got that? Well, one way to know that you're becoming envious is this. It's instead of being thankful or joyful toward the other person, you start to feel resentment, you feel distress, you feel a sense of emptiness, less worth, maybe a deep sadness, or maybe anger, especially toward that person that received something that you were desiring and you didn't get. See, envy always starts out really quietly, in your heart, silently. It just starts there. Initially, only you're going to know that you're feeling envious toward this other person. Only you know that you're feeling that inside your heart. No one else is going to know this at the moment that it starts. And then what started out to be something that was good in a sense, maybe you're striving for something that was good, and something that you thought was going to bring you happiness in this life, actually starts to bring you sadness, anger, and unhappiness at the end. And this is what envy does. Your pursuit of happiness actually turns into unhappiness, or actually sorrow in a sense, or even worse, anger, and maybe becoming bitter at the other person. In Proverbs 14:30, it says this, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." Envy makes the bones rot. It just starts eating away at you. And it starts going from inside of your heart, and it starts rotting your bones. You can just imagine that happening to you physically. And this is how envy starts. It starts out, in a sense, like you're thinking, hey, I'm going to pursue happiness, but yet it's going to turn into a rotting bones in your, inside of you. Not only does it harm you, okay, in your pursuit of happiness, it's going to harm you, it's going to rot your bones, but it's going to eventually harm your relationships with others. You may not actually kill someone like Cain and Cain did to Abel. You may not sell somebody off to a caravan of Ishmaelites to send them off to Egypt like Joseph's brothers did, but you're going to treat the person you envy differently. It's going to be really hard for you to try to pretend that you still love that person the way you did before you started becoming envious of that person. It's going to be really hard. So you may not like silently say anything, but you're going to eventually not want them to be around you. You're going to eventually avoid them. You're going to maybe stop speaking to them, but eventually you're going to just kind of move away from them, even physically. Just, hey, they're coming in the room, I'm going to go on the other side of the room. And this happens even in the church. And you can even, you may be able to talk to them, you may even give them a smile, but in your heart, you're going to hate them. You're going to hate them and wish that they never existed. I mean, they will grow and fester in your heart if you let envy continue. And if something bad, this is another test, if something bad happens to that person that you're envious of, you're actually rejoicing. You're actually happy that something bad happens to them. And if something good happens to them, you're even getting more angry. That's one big sign, obviously, that you're being envious of that person. In Romans 12:15, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." But if we're envious, it's going to be the opposite. We're going to be rejoicing with those who weep, and we're going to be weeping with those who rejoice, those that we're envious of. And we're going to just turn everything around, and you'll do the opposite. And that's how crazy envy can become. I mean, it is maddening how envy can take hold and relationships be broken. And I'm talking about in the church, not even just in the world. I'm talking about with believers that can happen. And I'm going to share this one thing alone, I think, is going to be a huge test. And I think in a group like this, someone here or somebody you know is going to go through this experience. and maybe in college, and maybe later on after college. This is how the scenario works, and this is going to be a huge test. Is you, okay, you're a guy, are interested in a gal, okay, or you're a girl, and you're interested in a guy. And you're like, wow, you know, I like this person. I hope one day I can ask this person out, grab some coffee, really interested. And then you find out that person you like is interested in your best friend. It's game over. Okay, here we go. This has happened multiple times, okay? This is not like theory, okay? This is real, okay? And you're going to be sitting there going, I can't believe this person likes my best friend. Either way, whichever way it goes. Okay? And not going to happen maybe right now. It better not, right? But it will happen to somebody you know, or even to yourself, later on. I almost get you some, like, there's going to be multiple of these stories coming out maybe later on. Okay? Maybe a couple, hopefully. Maybe never, but it happens so often. But this is where envy is like deep, okay? It is going to be deep. And you're going to need to know how to respond to that. And so, I'm just throwing that out there, okay? So you guys know what's coming, okay? So first we see how evil it is, in a sense, in our own personal life, is that when we pursue happiness, it actually brings unhappiness to us. Then we see how it can cause us to hate our friend, hate our neighbor, and envy can continue to disrupt that. And one thing that's, again, crazy about envy, right, is that usually you're going to be envious of those that you are most like, that you are similar to. Let me explain. So if you're like a great athlete, and you're like at your school, and you're like trying hard at your sport, you're never going to be envious of the trumpet player that's doing so good and is getting scholarships as a trumpet player. You're never going to be envious of that guy. You're just going to be envious of another athlete in your same sport. Same thing, like the musician won't care if like the engineer is like top of the class and gets great scholarships and goes on to do great things. That musician won't care. But he'll care if the guy next to him playing the same instrument gets more praise than he does. Then he's going to become envious. And that's why envy is a little bit weird, is that it's going to harm those that you're closest to. You're going to be surrounded by those people that you're similar to, and those are the people you're going to become envious. That's why even an example of a pastor being envious of another pastor, that's happens. He's not going to be envious of the athlete. He's going to be envious of another pastor. Same thing as a church member. You're going to be envious of another church member. You're kind of, hey, like even the example of the maybe being up here and singing, you're thinking you sing better than that person, and you're thinking, why does that person get to sing up there? And so that's what envy does. It really does disrupt relationships. It disrupts relationships that you're closest to. I mean, the friends that you're closest to is where you're going to find that to show up. And it's going to break apart those relationships. And that's why it's so sinful. It's so bad. And another cause that envy can result in is that you're going to eventually despise God. And that ultimately will happen. If you understand where envy is coming from, you're going to despise God. It's going to cause you to question God's sovereignty. And this is why envy is a daughter of pride. We believe we know better than God, ultimately. Same thing as pride. We think we know better than God. And we actually think life would be better if we were God. That the plans that are happening around us, that we think we know better. And so we don't know why someone succeeds at times. We don't know why somebody receives what they receive or don't receive some things that happens in this life. And in our minds, we think, hey, we know what's best. We think we know what we should receive. But actually, the person that receives it sometimes receives something good on the surface that may cause them to fall or cause them to fall into sin. But if we look at someone that receives else that receives, we may think it would make us happy to receive that in the same sense. Like maybe, hey, if I received this, if I got this one thing, it would make me like really happy. But in reality, it's you not receiving it might have prevented harm in your life. So someone, let's say that's good looking or has a lot of wealth or prestige, may handle it well, right? Maybe that person can handle that wealth. But others can't. They can't handle that. And you see this over and over again. Let's think about these like Hollywood stars that started out really young. And you can name a bunch of them that their life like just totally is a disaster at this point. You know, they get the drugs, alcohol, all this stuff as they grow up. And they received all this prestige and fame. You're thinking, well, if I got that, I would be this and this and this. But no. Sometimes those things are actually harmful for you. And we have to think about it like that. That God knows what's best. God knows what's best for us at the moment. And sometimes that means that we don't receive what we think we should receive. And we need to believe that. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And we need to believe that statement, that God does work all things out. But envy will reject that. Envy will despise God and say, no, my plans are better than God's plans. And ultimately, we're going to despise God. So what can we do? Really quickly here, sorry, going along here. But 1 Peter chapter 2. There's hope to overcome envy. There's hope to overcome envy. We turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says this, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So there's actually a command for us to put away envy, which means that it's possible, And how do we do that? How do we put away envy? Well, if you see that verse, there's a so, in the ESV and other translations, therefore, we need to look at what the previous verses are teaching us. So if you turn to chapter 1, verse 22, and read from there, it says this, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. First thing I want you guys to see here is before we talk about how to overcome it, is that in verse 23, it says, since you have been born again. Again, you have to be a believer. If we're going to overcome envy, as an unbeliever, you have really no power over sin. And we need to talk about what it means that you need to have a regenerate heart, a new heart, a circumcised heart, a new birth in your life, which means that you need to be saved. And so if anything, our sinful emotions are showing us is that we are sinful. If these emotions are in your heart, it's just showing you who you are, that you're a sinner and that you need saving. And that we need to come to Christ, and that we need to see Christ as our only solution to these things. Not just for envy, but for sin. And you can't do anything about it if without Christ and what He's done in our hearts as a believer. And so Christ comes down to die on the cross for our sins. And you guys know this. You guys know Christ came to forgive our sins. But not only that, did He forgive us our sins, but He gave us a new heart, a circumcised heart to overcome sin. And I think that's even the more beautiful part of the gospel. God could have just forgiven us if He really wanted to just forgive us. Of course, we know His justice and we know His wrath and so forth. But what He gives us in this life is a new heart so that we can live a life honoring to Him and that we can battle sin in this life. And so ultimately, you need to be saved. You need to say that you're a true believer in front of Christ and believing in Him. You need a new heart. It's not that you just say you believe in Christ. It's that you have a new heart that makes you a believer. And so that's really important. I don't want to skip that too quickly. But you need to really think about it. Hopefully, if anything, this shows you your need for Christ this evening. And then if we look back at the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says, having purified your souls. So again, this idea of a new heart, new soul, by your obedience to the truth, for having a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And there again, the heart is there, a new heart, purified souls. Because of that, you can love your brother. And this is the first thing, is that you can love one another. And you remember 1 John, we went through 1 John several months, and really talking about, beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And it's linked. Your salvation and loving one another is always linked. And that's why if you want to overcome envy, is to one command, and the command here is to love one another. Love your brother. earnestly love them. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. So love does not envy. Love is the opposite of envy. Therefore, when we want to stop envying one another, we need to start loving one another. We need to start loving each other more from a genuine heart earnestly. If we truly love one another, we will not be envious of one another. We can genuinely rejoice with those who rejoice. We desire what would be the best for the other person, for our friend, our brother, or sister in Christ. And we seek their happiness and not our own if we truly love them. So that's the first thing. Secondly, we need to be growing in our faith and knowledge of God. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, right after the command to put away envy, it says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And so how do we do this? How do we grow in our faith and knowledge of God? It says, long for the spiritual milk, which is what? God's word, so that we will grow up into salvation. We need to grow in our faith. We need to be growing. So remember the analogy of the thermometer and the thermostat? The thermometer is telling us the temperature of our soul, but the thermostat, we didn't really talk about this, is what we ought to be, how we ought to live. And that needs to be outside of us. Someone else needs to tell us how we ought to live, not by our emotions, what's inside, but something outside, and that's by the Word of God. So the thermostat should be the Word of God. And therefore, we need to go after that. We need to long for it. We need to grow in it. We need to take it in. Take in the Word of God. And that's how we know all these truths that we need to know about who God is. That He's sovereign, that He's good, that He has a purpose for our lives, that He loves us, cares for us. That the gifts we receive and the gifts that we don't receive are still from Him. Are still from Him. And we need to believe that God made you exactly the way you are out of His kindness and goodness. In Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14, it says, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. Do you really believe God made you the way that you are because He loves you? That He wonderfully and fearfully made you? And that you're not looking at somebody else and being envious and wishing that you were that person instead? In Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider, God has made the one as well as the other. So we can't just be happy when things are going good and think, oh, this is great. But when tough times come and trials come, we also need to believe that's also from God. And you need to believe that, not only in our mind, but you need to truly believe it in your heart. That's why a couple weeks ago when Huey taught about anxiety and Jesus spoke about the birds and the lilies, you guys remember this in Matthew 6? Christ says, O you of little faith, because they didn't believe that God is actually sovereign. They didn't believe that God actually takes care of His creation, and particularly those, especially those that love Him. And so when we experience simple emotions, our emotions are telling us deep inside our hearts that we actually do not believe these truths. That we do not believe. When you feel that, then you're saying in your heart that you don't believe these things about God. So we need to go back to the Word of God and preach these truths to us and trust in faith that these truths are real. We need to ask God to help us believe and have faith in these truths, no matter what our emotions are trying to tell us. Just take the warning that Cain received, that sin is crouching at the door. When you feel that emotion, you need to remember that sin is crouching at your door, waiting to devour you. And we need to start believing the truths that we know are in God's Word and who He is. And lastly, just real quick, 2 Peter 2:3, it says, indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is good. And the lasting way to battle envy in our hearts is that we've experienced and tasted that Christ is good. And we need to find joy and happiness in Christ alone. At some point, as a believer, if you're a believer here, you've experienced the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ. And you're enjoying the Lord, and we need to grow in that. We need to grow not just in the Word, but we need to grow in enjoying the Lord in our lives. That our satisfaction and happiness comes from Christ alone. It can't be from our circumstances. It can't be from just pursuing things of the world. We need to have a foundation in Christ alone. And everything that we say we believe, everything that we're enjoying, all the happiness that comes in this life has to be coming in Christ. Not just the blessings, but in the person of Christ. We need to follow Him, trust Him, and find our joy in Christ alone. So there's a little chart that I put up, if you look here on the next slide. The results of envy that we talked about, right? We're pursuing happiness, but it's going to bring unhappiness in our life. It's going to harm our relationships, our friendships. And then at the end of the day, we're going to despise God, that God didn't do what we thought he should do for us. But instead of those things, when you feel envy coming into your heart, we need to put on these things. We need to find true joy and happiness in Christ instead of happiness in the world. We need to love one another earnestly instead of seeking to harm our brother or sister or friend or relationships that we have. And we need to grow in faith and knowledge of God to really believe who God says he is, that he is working all things out for good for you. And that's how you're going to put it away. That's how you're going to put away envy. You're going to put away malice, deceit, hypocrisy, slander, like it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. All those sins are relational sins. And they're all intertwined to each other. If you just think about each of those words, like start with envy, then you're going to start doing all these other things. You're going to deceit, you're going to lie to your brother that you love them. You're going to start having malice, you're going to start slandering them, and you're going to be a big hypocrite, okay, to your brothers and sisters in Christ. But instead, we need to find true joy in Christ, love one another, and grow in our knowledge of faith. So I want to take a moment just to encourage you guys, because you know what? Envy and these emotions, the sinful emotions, are going to take time for you to grow into, or grow fighting against. And it's going to take time, and you're going to find times where, you know what, a situation will come up, and that feeling and that emotion is going to balloon up in our hearts. But you might feel like giving up. You might feel like, hey, like, you know, like I'm feeling this over and over again. And you might feel like giving up. And I want to just give a word of encouragement that you need to continue on. Don't give up. Continue seeking the word of God. Make sure you put God's word in your heart. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take your just focus on Christ and believing in the word and trusting in the word. And you're going to grow one from one glory to the next. And sanctification is like that. It's going to take time. And for even our staff and the adults, these things take time. We're still struggling with some of our emotions. Okay, and so it's going to take time for us to grow in that as well. And so continue, have faith, know that God's way is always the best way, is the only way to finding satisfaction and happiness in this life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. And we thank you that you don't leave us alone. And even in this a sin that is so ugly, like envy, and just how big it is and how prevalent it is, help us to know that one day we may face that in our own hearts. And so help us to know that we're not left alone. Help us first to repent. Help us to repent of that sin. Help us to repent and believe in Christ if we haven't. And help us to trust in your word that is true, that is real, and that your spirit can strengthen us, that your spirit can use these emotions and redeem them as you redeemed us unto salvation. And help us to live lives that will honor you. And we thank you for each one here. We pray for each one to know you, to trust you, and to believe in you. And may you continue to provide grace and mercy to their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.